KCR Mobile.
Hey Tom, how you doing? G4DJC.
Ground WG4RC.
Didn't catch the second call because I stepped on you. I think it sounded like Gabriel. Yeah, Jerry, you're a little weak into the repeater today, but let the other gentleman identify and then pass it over to Jerry. This is N0TR. I didn't catch a call, but everybody, I don't know if it's a repeater or what. Could be me, maybe. I just left home out here. Go ahead, Jerry, make one.
I'm on the handheld. I think we'll switch over to the other rig here in just a second. I was headed upstairs and heard you. I'll swap that. I turned it back to Matt, WG4MC, I think, Matt. I think that's... I always get this MC messed up with MZ or something for some reason or another.
How you and Miss Bernice doing? Did y'all have a happy new year?
But we're still here. That makes it happy. Just taking the grandson back down home. We've had him for a few days and had a lot of fun with Mr. Jordan here. And he's got all of his electronic paraphernalia gathered up. And his mom and dad are coming back from a football game in Fort Lauderdale, which I do not envy him being on an airplane. At any rate, man, I think Jerry was going to change over, so go ahead.
Swapped over now. I had the handheld on running about two and a half watts, I think. But it's kind of hard to get into it from inside the house without having hooked up to the main antenna. So, anyway, I just got back on the mobile rig now. It's actually my base rig. It's only mobile if I carry it under my arm. Go ahead, Tom.
Still a difference, Jerry. Well, that's about the size of what we're doing today so far. I don't know if Bernice wants to stop going back to any place. I think we're going to wait till Monday when all of the working people are back to work and things calm down a little bit before we go to the grocery store. So, Matt, how was your New Year's?
Nice and quiet, which was a good thing. If I had to put 2020 behind us in the rearview mirror and get ready for 2021, and hopefully we can start meeting at the crew club in person later on in the year once this pandemic hopefully settles down with the vaccine. Tom, I did have a question for you. I know on that amp you said that the motor needs to be oiled about every 6 months, and I've had it for about 6 months now. What kind of oil did I need to get? Like I said, I'm mobile right now, so you still got my number. If you could shoot that in the text message, I appreciate it.
Of light grade oil, like 3-in-1 oil, and just maybe 3 or 4 drops in it. They have a little piece of felt down inside of them that absorbs it, and make sure you have that thing off, of course. That's common sense. And you don't want to get too much in there. It can get on other things. I had a little a bottle that had a spigot on it, and you could extend that spigot out, I'll bet you 18 inches, and it had a light-grade machine oil in it, like soy machine oil or anything like that. That's just a little shaded pole motor. But if you give it that kind of care, it'll just virtually last forever.
I can just go to like a Hobby Lobby or somewhere like that and just get a soda machine on it. I got you. Well, appreciate that, Tom. Yeah, I wanted to check all that before I did it, make sure I got the right stuff.
Oh, I think any place like Lowe's or Home Depot and Hobby Lobby might have that little bottle with the extended nose on it. So the little inlets to those shaded pole motors are relatively small, and I don't know where I got that one at. Do you, Bernice? But just any kind of light oil would be just fine. Go ahead, Jerry.
time, Matty. We're doing the same thing. We're staying in today. We're going to go out tomorrow. I think there's been a bunch of cases in the Greenville area. My daughter works at WYFF, and she said they got a number of people there. And one of them tested positive. They have to quarantine for 28 days. They don't let him. There's not a lot of people at the station. Most of them are operating remotely now. But, I always use three and one oil for a lot of things, and that's just from years and years of using it because it worked well. But I was talking to a guy several years ago, he said, 3-in-1 oil works pretty good on a lot of things. He says, you have to remember that it's got a little bit of paraffin in it too. He says, that's one of the reasons why it may gum up over a period of time, is it's got not much, but it's got a little bit of paraffin in it. So that's my little tidbit on 3-in-1. I use it on my knives. I collect slip joint knives, traditional knives. I use it on my joints because it doesn't dry out very well. It doesn't dry out a lot like other stuff does.
Do you suggest, Jerry, this is a small shaded pole motor. They usually rate them in watts, kind of like the ones on a refrigerator, and they're real common. And it's in the back of a Drake L4B amplifier.
3-in-1 would be harmful to that. That thing's not running at a high speed or anything like that. And, the paraffin actually adds to some of the lubrication qualities. That's one of the reasons 3-in-1 is as popular as it is. It doesn't rely necessarily on the petroleum distillate products in it, but lubricate uses the paraffin in it too. But I think as long as it's not some high speed motor, I think it's fine. I used it for years without any issues. Sewing machine oil is probably as long as it may be better. I've used it in the past. I used to use the same thing that my wife uses on her Singer machines, and it's just a light grade oil. About, like I said, it might be repackaged 3-in-1 for all I know. All I know.
Things quiet as a whisper, and that's one of the reasons I liked it. It's much quieter than my solid state amp as far as the fans go. Go ahead, Matt.
Thanks, gentlemen, and I'll have to pick some up here in a day or so. But yeah, I'm glad I got you, Tom. Guys, I hate to bail out, but I'm just about designated, so I'll go ahead and say 7-3 and I'll be clear. This is WG4MC clear.
Threes, Matt, and have a good day. I'm glad you're enjoying that.
Hey, Matt, it's good to hear you on. We don't usually hear you on. I don't anyway, except when you call the net. But have a good afternoon. It's a beautiful day, that's for sure.
That last suffix of his call, was it MC or RC, Jerry? That guy's my memory.
It's MC. Me and Charlie. And the phonetics I use, it's a little easier for me to use, but it's WG4MC. And I believe his wife is a ham too, but I can't remember her call sign right now, but I think she may be too.
They attend the meetings, they're really, really nice people. Well, I had that amp for 8 months is all, maybe that much. And I had an opportunity to get a solid-state one, and I had replaced, I put brand-new mat sets of tubes in it, bought all new caps and bleeder resistors, and put a solid-state power supply on it, and just went through it all, and I had about $800 in it, and I let Matt have it for $700, because I just wasn't using it. I had a lot of hours in it. But, it was a learning station. I'd never messed with an RF amplifier. I always worked in industrial electronics. However, I did work on big thyrotron tubes and that in motor speed drives and rectifying units. But RF's a different world, and I'm certainly no expert on that. This is N0TR.
When I first started getting interested in ham radio, most of the rigs still had two, you know, finals usually, the Kenwoods and the Jesus. So, yeah, that's just a, you know, amplifier, you know, vinyl amplifier tubes. It was usually like 6L6s or something like that, I think. It's been so long ago, or 6146Bs or something like that. I don't even remember. It's been, my memory's not as good as it once was. But it usually had like a couple of tubes in the finals. And I'll be honest with you, I never had any trouble out of them. The only trouble I've had out of any finals was I burned up some finals twice on a ICOM 2-meter, 10-watt all-mode rig. For some reason, I don't know whether it was just a bad design, but I did it twice. The first time it cost me $75, and the next time, and I checked my SWR, everything was great on it, but then the next time, ICOM replaced them for free because evidently there must have been some issue with whatever components they were using for the solid-state finals for it.
Well, Matt was new at this entirely, kind of like I was on the RF. But he said he accidentally put 100 watts into it one night and put out 1,492 watts. I said, well, just sit there and do that all night long in a rocking chair if you want to do that with it, because it had 2, 3, 500 Zs in there, and they were matched. So you wouldn't hurt it at all at that. I think the power supply weighed 46 pounds, and the control unit was 43 pounds, Jerry.
That's a big one. I know the, had a friend of mine while I was living in Rock Hill, he ran one of those Alpha 77DXs, and that thing was a monster. But, seemed like it ran 3,500 Zs, maybe or something, I don't remember, but it put out, it hadn't been putting out close to 2,000 PEP, I don't know what it did, key down CW, but that thing would open up, you know, if you didn't have a band open, it would open one up for you with a good, I think he had like a four-element 20-meter beam up about 165 feet, too, see. He was a real, I don't know if he's active anymore or not, but he had all kinds of awards. So he worked all, I mean, he had worked all counties, whole nine yards, DXCC four or five ways, you know, one of those deals. But he had the time and the money to be able to do it.
I talked to an old boy up in Washington. This is back when I just had my TS-140, but I had a Mosley beam. And that 20-meter beam he had, he was in the San Francisco area. And I think the boom on it was 4-inch pipe. It was just unbelievable. Everybody in the country knew him. He had a 6-call and had worked him. But he was a real good conversationalist. I really enjoyed it. But that's all he had was that 20-meter beam. And, oh, my gracious, it worked most effectively.
I don't know whether they still live in the area or not, but his QTH was right on the Catawba River as you were crossing from Rock Hill headed towards Fort Mill, South Carolina. And you could see that, you could see the tower from several miles away on the river. It might have been 175 feet. It was a tall one. But he also had a EME station on the ground, too. I think he might have had DXCC by EME, maybe. I don't remember now, but he had more awards than anybody I'd ever seen. But he had a fabulous station. This had been 35 years ago. Had a fabulous station. And last time I spoke with him, he was just a great guy. His family had run a little motel and restaurant there right on the river for years and years. But he was right on the river, and he just had it was probably the tallest aperture tower I remember ever seeing.
That drink, L4B, is, I had the original manual and everything on it. And back then, I think it was $845, and now it's about $3,000 to get that kind of power, and or over. And it was rated 2,000 watts input, so it would do about anything you wanted to do. It said it wasn't for the work bands, but I worked all the work bands with it, and I didn't have any trouble. I think 12 meters, it didn't like that. But other than that, it'd do 17 great. Well, we're down here just past the airport, Jerry, and gonna cross 85 here and heading down Highway 14 towards 14 and Pelham. This is N0TR.
That Drake stuff was such, yeah, that was really the stuff to have back when I got started. I remember when they came out with that TR, I think it was TR4CW, which was, it was 250 watts. You know, they just, at that time, it must have been 79. It had the, I think it had the warp bands in it. But it was an absolutely gorgeous rig, and of course, it had the big power supply with it, but it would put out 250 solid key down, which was the novice limit in those days. The 250 on CW, I mean, it's a, the 250 on CW is a lot of power. I mean, you can run a, you can do a lot of talking on that with a decent antenna, but that was just, that was always what I wanted to add in the shortwave Drake stuff too, the broadcast band stuff, and it was at a, I want to say it was an SPR4, but I may be wrong, but it was, had a, those old AM shortwave rigs, they just, the Drake rigs, they had some of the best audio, you know, that tube audio just sounded so much better than the processed stuff does today.
N0TR Mobile. Well, I heard a FM station on a special event the other night. I didn't work it. I couldn't remember the parameters on my amp, my solid-state amp, whether it do AM or not. I have, on occasion, back in Kansas, talked on AM, but it's, I don't know. I think it's kind of rare now. May not be, but there's a lot of the old-timers like to... to use it. It's awful wideband, but most of the time I'm on CW, if anything. Yeah, you're right. That's a lot of power on CW. I just love this ALS 1300 solid state. It's automatic band switching and makes you an appliance operator. You just switch bands and it goes right with you. And it's really enjoyable. It's rated for 1,200 watts. I know it will do more because I've accidentally drove it a little more, you know, a couple of times. But I surely wouldn't do it on purpose because if you can't do it with 1,200 watts, well, forget about it. And I know friends of mine that have 2,500 watts, but I won't do that.
I think 1,000 watts is plenty. I've never run anything over, I ran nothing over 100 foot on HF. I've actually run more on VHF than I have on HF. I ran 160 watts when I was on single, 42 meters and 432 single sideband years ago, but yeah, that was a little more beneficial, it seemed like, because you either had 10 watts or you had to use an amp. 10 watts would work into several states over if the band was open, but, you know, it was really, you had to have a mast mounted preamp and all sorts of stuff to be able to pull in some of those weaker stations when those VHF bands started closing up. But, I worked a little 20-meter AM back in the early 80s. But I was speaking more of the broadcast band stuff on the shortwave portion of it when Drake had the shortwave receivers out. But the audio on the tubes always sounded better to me, a little warmer. Still does, I guess, if you can afford to use them. But that was a time gone by. But, you know, tube amps, solid state stuff now is so much better than it was 30 years ago. You know, not being able, not having to tune up on bands and all that sort of stuff, it really, for DX or, I can see where it would be a big benefit, especially if you had to move around the band a little bit without retuning.
Sorry. Yeah, I had to buy a little extra box for this one for about $100 to make it auto band switching. Bill in 4IQ, he has the 1306, and his does that without that little box, and it also does 6 meters, which I have no interest in, really, at the time. But I had a friend that used to do a lot of 6 meters, and he actually got VUCC on 6 meters, and he had, I think, 3 watts. I guess that's why they call it the magic band. This is Gerald T.R.
Something I never worked. The guy that got me interested in ham radio was a big 6 meter guy, and he was a technician. He had a hard time passing a 13-word communication. He was a 6 meter guy, and of course, back in those days, TV stations were still operating on 50 megahertz. He'd have to get on early in the morning, like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning sometime, but real early in the morning, like 4 or 5 a.m. before the band was open, and get over, because otherwise everybody would fuss at him in the neighborhood, because WPTV in Charlotte was channel 3, and I think it was on 50 megahertz or so, and he was running a Swan. I think it was a 350, I can't remember exactly. It was a Swan. That thing was, that Swan was putting out, a couple hundred watts at least, I think. But he really enjoyed it. We had a friend of ours who's Silent Key long ago now, but I can't remember his calling. That saved my life. But he had a house. He was right on the Eastern Continental Divide, right where the marker was on the Blue Ridge Parkway. And he just had a clear view all around him. He had he could work 6 meters, 2 meters. He could work about anything you wanted to with a decent beam.
N0IGZ up there in Kansas, he was a good friend of mine, and he had neighbors that had baby monitors that were on 6 meters. And he said, you can't imagine some of the conversations there, Tom.
I bet so. Another guy, we had several that ended up where I lived in the smaller town. I lived in Fort Mill that had been hams for many, many years. And one of them, he was kind of hard of hearing. He was probably in his 70s then, I guess. But he was hard of hearing. And he said one lady could hear him over her kitchen sink. She could hear the CW coming in. It took her several months to figure out where it was coming from. But he used dipoles and stuff like that, I think, inverted V's, and he was a very prolific operator. That he could send CW with one of the vibroplexes faster than I could receive it by far. About the only thing that saved me on CW is when Venture came right back with their iambic paddles. That's how I was able to send CW. I could get up to 20-25 words per minute at that time, but I sure couldn't do it on a straight key.
Extremely rare. I hate straight keys. I can use them, but I just think it's so much easier to use a Venture or one of those. I have an N3ZN key, and I just love it. And it's made out of bronze. Weighs about 3.5 pounds. Because it just doesn't move around. If it moves around, you've done something wrong. But I like the paddles a lot better, Jerry. And, I need to get in on some conversations. That's the roughest ones. Just working these 599 things isn't tough at all. But to carry on a conversation, you got to use the old head up there.
It's hard. I'm left-handed, so I've always used. I could actually operate with either hand. But I had to have the. I remember I had to have the Venture set up a little differently for me. But it was a good. That's really what made my CW when I switched over to that. I tried a Fiberplex, one of those bug type things. And I never could. I just never could work it. I wasn't coordinated enough, I don't guess, but. The paddles, and when the Venture came in, that was kind of the end for me. That really helped me out a lot. It cleaned up my characters and I was able to send code a lot faster than I could receive, but a good CW operator won't, if you're just making contacts, they can get through it pretty fast, and you can copy it faster than you think you can.
Well, you know, I never could run one of those bugs, and I had a friend that had a bug, W0RRL, and I could copy him, but there were very few people that I knew that ran the vibroplexes that I could understand. It's just a different sounding thing, and there's very few people that are that proficient on them. They're tough. They really are. I'd like to have his key. It was W0RRL, but I'm sure his son kept it, so I didn't ask. But I'd have never used it. Put it on the shelf and look at it. They are pretty. Well, Jerry, we just about arrived down here, so I got to sign off. And thanks for riding along. Enjoyed it. And it's beautiful outside at 57 degrees, 73s, Jerry. This is N0TR, clear on your phone.
Tom, you guys have a good afternoon. If Bernice is with you, good afternoon to you. Keep an eye on that guy. He may be a little shifty. We'll see you later, Tom. N0TR, N40JC, clear.
W8JD7LP.